Well, good morning. I'm glad that you're listening to Wyndham Community Chapel service of January 3rd, 2021. Happy New Year to all of you. My name is Pastor Gary DeHaas, and it's great to have you listening from your home today. As we spend time together in the presence of God and in His Word, I pray that this service will be a blessing to you. I hope that you will allow God to speak into your life, that you will spend time in His presence listening, responding, and allowing God to just speak into your life. I want to encourage you, if you're able, to come out on Sunday mornings as we join together in gathered worship here at our building. For many of you, our safety protocols are making it a safe environment for you to come and worship with your brothers and your sisters, and I want to encourage you to do that. There's no substitute for worshiping together in our presence. And I know that there are some of you who still are unable to come physically and are at risk physically, and just want you to know that you are missed, and we look forward to the time, hopefully coming up soon, when we'll all be able to join together and worship together. Well, today in this new year, Psalm 96 calls us to worship. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise His name, proclaim His salvation day after day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord, and most worthy of praise. Let's begin by praying together. Heavenly Father, thank You for making all things new. As another new year begins, help us to live each day for You. May we continually have a song in our hearts to sing to You, no matter what may come in this new year. Father, we cast all of our cares before You and on You, knowing that only in You will the burdens that we face and we have will be lifted. Bring to us renewal of our souls and lift our spirits to see Your goodness and Your plans for our lives today and in this new year. Give us the strength to face the week ahead and the weeks ahead, and allow us to glorify Your name. Father, we worship You because You are our faithful God. So be glorified in the time that we spend together. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a couple of reminders to you today. We are grateful for all of your faithful giving in this past year during this pandemic, and just want to encourage you to continue to be faithful to support the work of God through our ministry. We continue to have expenses, and your faithful giving has allowed us to meet our bills, and we're thankful for that. And you can continue to send them to the church if you're unable to be here, or just bring them on Sundays when you come. For those who have needs, prayer needs for our church, don't forget to send them along to us, and we'll make sure that we get those out to our people during the week. Well, today we're beginning a new sermon series. It's called Discipleship in an Instant Society, and our text is going to be the Psalms of Ascent. And on this faith journey, each one of us faces many obstacles and barriers. And these psalms are psalms of transition that provide courage and support and inner direction for helping us to where God is leading us in Christ Jesus. Then this coming Wednesday, our men's Bible study will be beginning on Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, January 6th. And then the following week, on Tuesday, January 13th at 9:30 in the morning, the ladies' Bible study will restart. Well, as always, we want to spend some time before God, both talking with Him and praising Him and bringing our requests before Him. So I invite you to join me now as I do that. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we enter into Your presence in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. We're thankful for who and what You are, and we thank You for what You mean to us. Thank You most of all for saving us and making us new creatures in Christ Jesus. Thank You for walking with us on this journey of life. We never walk alone because You walk with us. Even in our times of doubt and distress, You are there, and you desire to lead and guide us through these difficult times. We thank you that you have provided companions for us on this journey of faith, our fellow believers. I thank you for my brothers and sisters in Christ. As you have ordained and directed, we are to bear each other's burdens and concerns and uplift spirits and be a blessing to each other. There are those here with us this morning that have problems and difficulties and burdens that they are carrying. They came to church today hoping to hear some word or experience some special moving of your spirit that will give to them encouragement and insight. Father, would you let them know that they aren't forsaken or forgotten? Speak into their lives and lead them in the way everlasting. Lord, we want to continue to lift up Joe Conroy in his fight against cancer. Give him strength to withstand the radiation treatments and give him peace and contentment in the process. We also pray for Dennis Boyd, Edie's brother, who fell and is recovering from broken ribs and a broken arm. Give him strength to heal quickly and patience in the process. Father, might your presence bring comfort to him. We also want to pray for the spread of your word around the world in this new year. We know that there are Christians in every nation, and many of them live under constant danger and threats of their very lives because of their faith in you. So we pray for the missionaries that we partner with, for the Rosses in Arizona and Beth Wise in Taiwan. Give wisdom and spiritual strength and make them effective in their work in your kingdom. And then, Father, we pray for the preaching of your word this morning. Help us to be drawn to your truth as we listen. Help us to be convicted of sin and wrong as the Holy Spirit reveals that to us. Help us to be obedient to your commands for holy living. Cause us to desire righteousness and to overcome self-will. Give me clarity of thought and the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I've mentioned, today we begin our sermon series from the Psalms of Ascent, which is Psalms 120 through 134. The Psalms of Ascent are a companion on our journey to righteous living in Jesus Christ. These Psalms provide continuity in guiding others in the Christian way and directing people of faith in the conscious and continuous effort which develops into maturity in Jesus Christ. Now, these 15 Psalms were sung likely in sequence by the Hebrew pilgrims as they went up to Jerusalem to the great worship festivals. Jerusalem is the highest city geographically in Palestine, and so the pilgrims would have to ascend to reach it. But far more significant than the literal ascension needed to reach Jerusalem was the metaphorical sense. The trip to Jerusalem acted out a life lived upward toward God, an existence that advanced from one level to another in developing maturity. At least three times a year, the faithful Hebrews made this trip. Remember, the Hebrews were a people whose salvation had been accomplished in the Exodus, whose identity had been defined at Sinai, and whose preservation had been assured in the 40 years of wilderness wandering. Because of this, they regularly traveled the road up to Jerusalem to worship God. They recalled God's saving ways at the Feast of Passover in the spring. They renewed their commitment as God's covenanted people at the Feast of Pentecost in early summer. And they responded as a blessed community to God's best for them at the Feast of Tabernacles in the fall. And in between the feasts, the people live these realities in daily discipleship. This picture of Hebrews singing these 15 psalms as they left their routines of discipleship and made their way from towns and villages, farms and cities as pilgrims up to Jerusalem has been embedded in the Christian devotional imagination. It is our best background for understanding life as a faith journey. And on this faith journey, we face many obstacles and barriers. Singing these 15 psalms is a way both to express the amazing grace and to quiet the anxious fears. There are no better songs for the road for those disciples and pilgrims who travel the road of faith in Christ to maturity. All the essential elements of discipleship are found in these songs. They are songs of transition, brief hymns that provide courage, support, and inner direction for getting us to where God is leading us in Jesus Christ. And so today we begin with Psalm 120. And the title of this sermon is called, Yes, God. If you have a Bible, turn to Psalm 120, and I'll read it for us. I call on the Lord in my distress, and he answers me. Save me, O Lord, from lying lips and from deceitful tongues. What will he do to you, and what more besides, O deceitful tongue? He will punish you with a warrior's sharp arrows, with burning coals of the broom tree. Woe to me that I dwell in Meshach, that I live among the tents of Kedar. Too long have I lived among those who hate peace. I am a man of peace, but when I speak, they are for war. To the pilgrims and disciples who choose to go against the stream, who seek to live a long obedience in the same direction, the psalmist begins their immigration with two facts of life. First, life is unfair. Each one of us can testify of the reality of that fact from our own life experiences. The psalmist relates his experience of being dealt with unfairly in three instances. First, in verse 2, there are lies, which literally mean lies without error. People were seeking David's ruin. First, they were attempting to discredit David by spreading false rumors without actually accusing him. Now, this is a common occurrence for the people of God. For instance, in Psalm 109 says, O God, whom I praise, do not remain silent, for wicked and deceitful men have opened their mouths against me. They have spoken against me with lying tongues. With words of hatred they surround me. They attack me without cause. In return for my friendship they accuse me, but I am a man of prayer. They repay me evil for good and hatred for my friendship. Or the words of Psalm 140. Rescue me, O Lord, from evil men. Protect me from men of violence who devise evil plans in their hearts and stir up war every day. They make their tongues as sharp as a serpent's. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Or the words of Matthew chapter 26. The chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for false evidence against Jesus so that they could put him to death. But they did not find any, though many false witnesses came forward. Well, not only lies, but in verse 2, there is deceit. Not only did they spread rumors, they attempted to discredit David. They also dealt deviously and maliciously with him. This was most likely done under the guise of friendship. The most dangerous enemies, and those which it is most hard to guard against, are those who carry on their malicious designs under the disguise of friendship. Usually this method is only employed once the rumors failed to accomplish the intended result. This ups the ante from merely just spreading rumors. The life of the disciple is wide open to rumor and malicious lies by the people of this world. And what is even more disappointing is that many of the attacks come from within the church of Jesus Christ. Those people who are supposed to be fellow travelers on this faith journey are many times the one who cause us the most distress. Again, the words of Psalm 52 say, "Why do you boast of evil, you mighty men? Why do you boast all day long, you who are a disgrace in the eyes of God? Your tongue plots destruction. It is like a sharpened razor, you who practice deceit. You love evil rather than good, falsehood rather than speaking the truth. You love every harmful word, O you deceitful tongue." As a disciple on the faith journey to righteousness, how does the world attack us with lying lips and deceitful tongues? Well, David opens the psalm with distress and ends it with the word war. This is not a happy song, but an honest and necessary one. David recognizes that as a pilgrim, truly this world is not his home. It is an unfriendly environment for people of grace to live in. You know, we are taught rivalry from an early age. It seems that at school, and especially on the playground, only the strong survive. At work, it appears that only the ruthless advance. Our world has a way of destroying relationships. Nation against nation has always been our lot. The world cries out for peace, but we only experience war and turmoil. We have been lied to. We also are taught that human beings are basically nice and good. This lie is probably the most destructive of all. We are told that everyone is born innocent, equal, and self-sufficient. The problem of this world can be resolved by more education because, after all, mankind is basically moral and good. I wonder how long will this world buy into this false thinking? Century after century has proved just the opposite. Everything good that God has created, man has corrupted. We need to be rescued from a world that tells of life and omits Christ. We need to be rescued from the person who is wise in the ways of the world and ignores the movement of the Spirit of God. This sums up the lies that the world is pressing upon us. They claim to tell us who we are and omit everything about our origin in God and our destiny in God. They talk about the world without telling us that God made it. They tell us about our bodies without telling us that they are temples of the Holy Spirit. They instruct us in love without telling us about the God who loves us and gave himself for us. Well, the third aspect of life being unfair is the bad company that we are forced to keep in verses 5 and 6. David describes his predicament with the word woe. This is a word of lament, as in, woe is me. And what is so bad with the company he is keeping, that he is dwelling in Meshach and living among the tents of Kedar? Well, here David is speaking figuratively. Meshach was the son of Japheth, the grandson of Noah. His descendants were known as a rude and barbaric people. Their home was thousands of miles from Palestine in modern-day southern Russia. And Kedar was the son of Ishmael. His descendants were Bedouins, always on the move, but never arriving at a destination. You see, David was burdened because he was forced to live among wicked people. He was keeping company with people who loved what he hated and hated what he loved. As a disciple and pilgrim, can't you relate to David's dilemma? Don't you ever get tired of righteous living in a world that does everything in its power to subvert you? That was exactly how David was feeling. Maybe you can identify with this story written by Judith Vorst entitled I'll Fix Anthony. My brother Anthony can read books now, but he won't read any books to me. He plays checkers with Bruce from his school, but when I want to play, he says, go away or I'll clobber you. I let him wear my Snoopy sweatshirt, but he never lets me borrow his sword. Mother says deep down in his heart, Anthony loves me. Anthony says deep down in his heart, he thinks I stink. Mother says deep down in his heart, where he doesn't even know it, Anthony loves me. Anthony says deep down in his heart, he still thinks I stink. When I'm six, I'll fix Anthony. When I'm six, I'll float, but Anthony will sink to the bottom. I'll dive off the board, but Anthony will change his mind. I'll breathe in and out when I should, but Anthony will only go glug, glug. When I'm six, my teeth will fall out, and I'll leave them under the pillow, and the tooth fairy will take them away and leave dimes. Anthony's teeth won't fall out. He'll wiggle and wiggle them, but they won't fall out. I might sell him one of my teeth, but I might not. Anthony is chasing me out of the playroom. He says I stink. He says he is going to clobber me. I have to run now, but I won't have to run when I'm six. When I'm six, I'll fix Anthony. Well, like Anthony, we can identify with the fact that life is unfair. Without a doubt, we can affirm that life is unfair for those who seek to live for God. But like Anthony, we have hope. Our hope is contained in the second fact of life from this Psalms, and that is the provision of God. And what does God provide for the Christian intent upon living righteously? What did God provide for David in his situation? Well, Psalm 120 gives us four provisions for the pilgrim on his faith journey. Notice that David's first response to his dilemma was prayer. He sought to communicate to the God of heaven and earth as a traveler would inquire for directions. He sought wisdom on how to handle the unfair attacks of the world. His prayer was simple. Save me, O Lord, from lying lips and from deceitful tongues. Make no mistake, David cried out to the Lord. He pleaded with God to protect him from the effect of lying and deceitful people. To the only one who has the power to change the hearts of mankind, to silence the mouths of evildoers, and who has the ability to protect the reputation of the righteous, David pled his justice. But the second provision that we have on our journey of faith is the Lord. And before we overlook the obvious, let's pause and be thankful that on this faith journey, we don't walk alone. Once God enters the fabric of our lives, truth is revealed. Instead of falling prey to the lies of this world, we are confronted with reality. Instead of becoming a victim to those lying lips and deceitful tongues, we can trust our reputation and integrity to God. And what are the truths that enter our lives as a result of God's relationship with us? Well, just this, that at the center of our lives and history is that Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross for our sins and raised from the tomb for our salvation, and that we can participate in new life as we believe in Him, accept His mercy, respond to His love, and attend to His commands. The psalmist's Lord is a lightning flash illuminating our path. It is the turning point marking the transition from a dreamy nostalgia for a better life to a rugged pilgrimage of discipleship in faith, from complaining about how bad things are to pursuing all things good. The psalmist recognized his need for God at a crossroads in his life. John Bailey wrote, "I am sure that the bit of road that most requires to be illuminated is the point where it forks." And the people who recognize their need and turn to God at such times are those committed to a long obedience in the same direction. Well, the third provision that we're given here in Psalm 120 is in verse 4, and that is the justice of God. How does the Lord deal with those who attack his disciples through slander, lies, and gossip? Well, listen to the words of Psalm 37. "Do not fret because of evil men or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your ways to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. For evil men will be cut off, but those whose hope is in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while, and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace. The wicked plot against the righteous and gnash their teeth at them. But the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he knows their day is coming. The wicked draw the sword and bend the bow to bring down the poor and needy, to slay those whose ways are upright. But their swords will pierce their own hearts, and their bows will be broken. Better the little that the righteous have than the wealth of many wicked, for the power of the wicked will be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The days of the blameless are known to the Lord, and their inheritance will endure forever. In times of distress, they will not wither. In times of famine, they will enjoy plenty. But the wicked will perish. The Lord's enemies will be like the beauty of the fields. They will vanish like smoke. The wicked borrow and do not repay, but the righteous give generously. Those the Lord blesses will inherit the land, but those he curses will be cut off. If the Lord delights in a man's ways, he makes his steps firm. Though he stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand." According to the psalmist, God will punish them with sharp arrows and burning coals. A sharp arrow equals a piercing wound, kind of like a thunderbolt. And burning coals are a smoldering ember. You see, God will protect his disciples by bringing justice to those who persecute them. His justice is in the form of wounds that make men miserable and will pierce even the strongest armor, and will last long after the initial wound. God's protection against lying lips and deceitful tongues is decisive and brings justice for his disciples. Well, then finally, God provides repentance for us. The last verses of this initial song that pilgrims sang on their journey to Jerusalem indicate a rejection of the lies this world is advocating and a turning to the truth of God. It is a conscious decision to say no to this world and yes to God. All pilgrims must begin their faith journey with this decision. You cannot have a foot in both worlds. You cannot straddle the proverbial fence. The word used by the psalmist is repentance. For the change wrought in genuine repentance is so deep and radical that it affects the whole spiritual nature and involves the entire personality. The intellect must function. The emotions must be aroused. And the will must act. All three elements are involved. The intellectual element. Repentance is always the change of a sinner's mind, which leads him to turn from evil ways and live for God. The Old Testament term used is translated to turn or to return. It emphasizes the idea of a radical change in one's attitude towards sin and God. It implies a conscious moral separation and a personal decision to forsake sin and to enter into fellowship with God. And the New Testament term used is translated to change the mind. It signifies to have another mind, to change your opinion or purpose with regard to sin. You see, God requires that we view sin as a heinous crime, His divine law as perfect, and our behavior as falling below the requirements of a holy God. But then there's also the emotional element. Now, while feeling is not the equivalent of repentance, it nevertheless is a powerful impulse helping us to genuinely turn from sin. There must be a consciousness of sin and its effect on man and its relation to God before there can be a true turning away from unrighteousness. The feeling naturally accompanying repentance implies a conviction of personal sin and an earnest appeal to God to forgive according to His mercy. Well, after we've changed our minds about sin and have been convicted by the Holy Spirit of its awfulness and our need to throw ourselves on the mercy of God, we then need to decide in our hearts to turn away from sin. The words employed in the Bible's original language place chief emphasis on the will, the change of mind or of purpose, because a complete and sincere turning to God involves both the recognition of the nature of sin and the awareness of personal guilt. The demand for repentance implies free will and individual responsibility. There can be no external substitute for this internal change. Sackcloth for the body and remorse for the soul are not to be confused with a determined abandonment of sin and return to God. For repentance is the catalytic agent for change in our lives. God's arrows are judgments aimed at provoking repentance. And any hurt is worth it that puts us on the path of peace, setting us free for the pursuit of eternal life in Christ. For repentance is a decision to follow Jesus Christ and become His pilgrim on the path of peace. And so Israel said no to following the lies perpetuated by their world and became a pilgrim people. They sought to follow the path of peace and righteousness in a world full of lies and violence. They sought a path that led to God. They decided that the truth of God explained their lives, that the grace of God fulfilled their lives, and that the forgiveness of God renewed their lives, and the love of God blessed their lives. Repentance is the first word in Christian immigration, and it sets us on the way to traveling to the light. It is a rejection that is also an acceptance, a leaving that develops into an arriving, a no that is a yes to God. Let's pray together. Lord, as we begin our journey through the Psalms of Ascent, like the Jewish people who took this journey long ago, help us to say yes to you and no to living our lives on our own terms. Help us to remember that you have provided prayer that we might always be in touch with you. Remind us that you walk with us through this life and we need to trust in you for wisdom and directions. And when life isn't treating us fairly, help us to remember that your justice will prevail in the end and that you stand up for your children who walk by faith. But most of all, help us to repent when we sin. Help us to abandon the pull of sin and cling to your grace, for we know that this puts us on the path of righteousness and leads us into your very presence. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, our benediction today comes from the book of Jude. To him who is able to keep you from falling, and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Well, the Lord bless you and have a good week as we begin 2021.